Miss Madeline Carroll stars in Private Worlds from Studio One at CBS.
To a psychiatrist, the life of every patient is a jigsaw puzzle which must be pieced together bit by bit, memory by memory, until the hidden pattern of his past emerges sharp and clear, and he stands revealed in all his secret qualities, the case history of a human being. And that is how I am now putting it all together, the remembered fragments of my own past.
We invite you to Studio One, radio celebrated house of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great novels, stories, and plays in special versions for listening. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
The mind is a continent which for many centuries remained uncharted and unmapped. However, in recent years, the unknown corners of the mind have been opened up to the explorations of the psychiatrist. Tonight, we're going behind the scenes in a private sanitarium to do some exploring of our own. Private Worlds is Phyllis Bottome's story of a mental hospital. It is a tale of two worlds, of the patients who are being helped in their return to a normal way of life, and of the hospital staff. We are particularly concerned with the world of Dr. Jane Everest, which comes crashing down with the arrival of a new superintendent, Dr. Charles Drummond. And we're most happy to have with us in Studio One, once again, one of the most enchanting and perceptive actresses of stage and screen, Miss Madeline Carroll, who's playing Dr. Jane Everest. With Miss Carroll, you'll be hearing Mercedes McCambridge as Myra, Claire Neeson as Sally, and Michael Fitzmaurice as Alec. And I'm going to remain at the microphone with them to play Dr. Charles Drummond. Please to begin.
The time I remember was autumn. The place was New England. More exactly, the Hampshire Hospital for Mental Disorders, where I was staff psychiatrist. The hour was night, and a cold autumn rain was drenching the empty countryside around us, whipping furiously at window and door. I was on duty that night, making the late rounds in the women's ward, when a casement window blew open.
You'd think the very elements knew.
Knew what, Miss Stanton?
Well, about the committee, Doctor. Dr. Everest, you don't think the committee would bring a new man into the hospital, do you?
I'm afraid I have no idea, Nurse Stanton.
Oh, it would be so dreadful to have some stranger come in and spoil things. I was telling the girls downstairs, I said, I don't see why the committee has to bother with all those meetings to find a new superintendent when they've got Dr. McGregor right here on the premises, so to speak. Who would be better qualified, I said. And his young wife, I said, think what it would mean to Mrs. McGregor, especially now with the little one coming.
Will you hand me that chart, please, Nurse?
Certainly, Doctor. I told the girls downstairs, I said, if you value your jobs, I said, pray it's Dr. McGregor gets the post.
We'll go on to the men's ward now, Nurse Stanton.
Yes, Doctor. May I report a situation in the men's ward, Dr. Everest?
Of course. You may report anything you wish.
Well, now, perhaps I shouldn't be saying this, Dr. Everest.
Just a minute, nurse.
It's Carrie Flint, Doctor. She's been terribly restless all evening.
Hello there, Carrie. Don't you feel like sleeping tonight? It's pretty late, you know. And you'll want to be nice and rested tomorrow, won't you?
Her sisters came to visit today, Doctor. Every time her sisters come to visit, off she goes again. Ripped her dress to shreds right before their eyes and tried to bite the older one on the ear, made as if she wanted to tell her a secret.
You really don't want to do that, do you, Carrie? You don't really have to bite anymore when you're angry, do you? When you feel angry, you can say it out in words, can't you, Carrie?
You're my mother.
I'm your doctor, Carrie. Now I shall let you go to sleep, and tomorrow morning I'll look in on you again.
Good night.
I don't think we want to mention this biting business in her presence anymore, nurse.
No, Doctor.
Did you finish what you were saying about the men's ward?
Well, perhaps I shouldn't be saying this. It's not my place, I know, to criticize beyond my province. But with the pneumonia case in there now, I don't think Matron should make the night man handle the ward by himself. Clarkson told me himself, he said. I don't think I'm up to taking the ward on alone yet, what with the pneumonia case. And the others up to mischief any time.
I shall look into it, nurse, and thank you for telling me.
Oh, thank you, doctor. It always helps to tell your troubles to someone who understands, doesn't it, Dr. Everett?
Yes, I suppose it does.
That's why I hope it'll be Superintendent McGregor we'll be taking our troubles to soon. Don't you, Dr. Everest? Don't you really?
Yes, Nurse Stanton, I do. Really.
Oh, I think it'll make such a difference to all of us.
Nurse Stanton went on and on, but I was barely able to hear her for the anxiety within me. At this very moment, I knew the committee was picking the name that would decide her fate and mine, and the fate of everyone else at the hospital. At this very moment, the committee was naming our new superintendent. For all our sakes, I hoped that it would be Alec McGregor. Kind, warm Alec McGregor. My hospital rounds over, I returned to my apartment in the medical quarters, hoping wildly that the moment I entered the door, the phone would ring, that a voice would announce a name, and the name would be...
Hello, Jane.
Alec. Oh, Alec, you scared me, you fool.
Your door was open, so I decided to wait.
Well, you might have turned on the light.
There you are.
Now, Alec McGregor, don't keep me waiting a second longer. Did the committee... What reason did they give?
I don't know.
You have to know, Alec. Armitage said he was recommending you for superintendent when he resigned. What reason did they give?
I don't know. Too fat, too thin, I tell you I don't know. Oh, they paid me a lot of fine compliments, and everybody shook my hand. But the appointment went to somebody else. Tomorrow morning, there'll be a new superintendent going over our records. And he won't like them, Jane. Yours or mine.
Why won't he?
Have you ever heard of Lockridge, Jane?
Yes, it's a penitentiary.
That's right. Charles Drummond, our new chief, took his training in the psychopathic wards of Lockridge Penitentiary.
But I've heard that Lockridge is being run on quite progressive lines.
Iron bars at the windows and armed guards at the gates. He'll have the patients marching to and from their cells like convicts. We have to resign, Jane, both of us.
Resign?
We can't stay on here and see every advance we've made wiped out by a prison warden. That's all he is. That's all he can be.
But we don't really know yet. He may be quite different until we're sure.
Sure now.
Well, what does Sally think of your resigning?
Sally?
You've told Sally, haven't you? Alec, you did go home and tell Sally before you came here.
I can tell Sally any time, can't I? I had to come to a decision first.
For a man who diagnoses other people's behavior...
Don't go poking around for something that isn't there, Jane. Sally's perfectly contented.
All right, Alec. Sally's perfectly contented, and... Who could that be? Come in.
Oh, may I, Jane?
Sally!
Sally, you're just in time. Come in, darling. Jane and I have something to tell you.
I was hoping I'd find you, Alec. I didn't know what had happened. I waited and waited, and then I thought I might find you here.
Your scatterbrained husband was just starting home.
Yes, Sally, you came just in time. Jane and I have news for you.
Oh, about the appointment? Oh, Alec, are you... You didn't get it. He didn't get it, did he, Jane?
No, he didn't, Sally.
Oh, Alec, I'm so sorry. But it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, does it, Jane? You're still a wonderful doctor, Alec. We can go on just as we have. I've decided where we'll have our garden next spring, darling. And I've picked the paper for the nursery.
We're resigning, Sally.
Resigning?
Now, Alec, don't shock her like that. We just discussed resigning, Sally. That's all. We're not going to do a thing until we found out what the new superintendent's really like. We're not resigning until we have to.
You will have to, Jane.
Why will I have to?
Because the new superintendent is going to ask you to, Jane. It's common knowledge Dr. Charles Drummond does not care to associate with women doctors.
Well, now, Dr. Everest, hurrying to the interview, are you, Doctor?
Good morning, Matron.
Shouldn't think he would have left you for last, would you? All the others have seen him already, poor souls, even Dr. McGregor.
I'm not acquainted with Dr. Drummond's schedule,
well,
Matron.
All I can't see is how you can bear the suspense. That, I should think, would be harder on a woman, even if she is a doctor. But then I hear he considers women doctors as quite a mistake. Though I dare say you're quite used to that by now.
If you'll excuse me, Matron, I'm in rather a hurry.
Oh,
and I have...
indeed, Doctor, indeed. I wouldn't want to be late either if I was in your place. But it's hospital business I have to discuss with you, Doctor.
Yes? What is it?
You signed an order for Threshold to help the new man on the ward at night. Do you still want that order carried out, Doctor?
Is there any reason why it shouldn't be?
Well, I just thought you might not want the new superintendent to think we were indulging in unnecessary expense, that's all. No telling what changes a new superintendent can make in a hospital, is there, Doctor?
No, there's no telling.
Young and handsome, they say he is. Just turned 35. And a young lady who lives with him says she's his sister. Shouldn't think his kind would get much respect from the patients, would you? Well, now, if I didn't walk you straight to his door, look at that. Well, you wasted no time getting his name lettered in, did he? And in gold. Dr. Charles...
Drummond.
Oh.
Charles Drummond.
You asked to see me. I am Dr. Everest.
Yes. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
Sit down, Dr. Everest.
Thank you.
Cigarette?
No, thank you.
Do you mind if I...
Oh, no, please do.
Thanks. You're much younger than I'd expected.
I believe you'll find my exact age on the second line of my career sheet lying there on the desk in front of you.
I've seen it. Is there a detail the matron left out in my biography which you would like me to have fill in?
You heard her?
She's very easy to hear, especially through an open transom. Unfortunately, Dr. Everest, I couldn't hear all of your quite noncommittal answers. That's unimportant.
It is?
Yes. In the next few minutes, I think we'll get to know quite a bit about each other. I shall make the first confession, Dr. Everest. I find it difficult to work with a woman doctor.
Would you care to give me a reason for this difficulty, Dr. Drummond?
Well, admitting first that sometimes the reasons we give for our behavior don't quite express the hidden motives of our subconscious minds...
Sometimes they don't.
I nevertheless believe that a woman in a hospital such as this is too disturbing an influence.
Disturbing to whom, Dr. Drummond?
I beg your pardon?
Disturbing to whom? The doctor, the patients, or the superintendent?
Disturbing to the doctor, of course, and therefore to the patients.
I see.
The nervous and emotional structure of a woman, Dr. Everest, makes her unsuited for the atmosphere of a hospital such as this. A woman is too sensitively balanced for the tensions which she must encounter here. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, yes.
I do not, of course, propose to ask for your resignation.
You're very kind.
But it seems to me only fair in case you're considering any fresh plans.
I am not.
I beg your pardon?
I said I am not considering any fresh plans. You were hoping, weren't you, Dr. Drummond, that I would spare you the embarrassment of asking me to leave by offering you my resignation.
I'll confess that I was.
I'm really sorry, Dr. Drummond. I wish I could help. But you see, I'm much too interested in the work I've been doing here these last 5 years to think of leaving at this moment. Of course, if your personal aversion is so strong that it will interfere with my duties...
You will be perfectly free to carry on your work according to the regulations of this hospital.
Thank you.
But I must ask for a change in your duties.
A change?
Dr. McGregor is in charge of the women's section here at the hospital, isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
And you of the men's.
The men's section is smaller.
It would be better that you exchange with Dr. McGregor.
But the men's section is the smaller of the two. An exchange like that would constitute a demotion for Dr. McGregor.
Are you so concerned about Dr. McGregor's welfare?
Dr. McGregor is my friend.
Then I would suggest, Dr. Everest, that you put your problem before Dr. McGregor. You might tell him that if he does not care to make the exchange, he may wish to take you on as his subordinate. If neither alternative appeals to either of you, Dr. Everest, you may prefer to resign.
Oh, no! Of all the arrogant, pig-headed... I hope you told him he could keep his filthy job, Jane. I'm handing in my resignation in the morning.
Oh, do sit down, Alex. Stop shouting and sit down. You're spilling ashes on my rug.
Blast your rug! Jane, you did resign, didn't you?
No, Alec, I didn't.
You mean to tell me...
I decided to assist you in the women's section.
You assist?
There may be a lot of truth to what he says, Alec. I didn't like to admit it before him, but some men do resent women doctors.
And some women resent men. Does that mean we're supposed to give up medicine? Don't you see what he's doing, Jane? He's trying to force you into a subordinate position. This is his way of asserting his dominance over a woman. Over you, Jane. Can't you understand?
I think you're wrong about Dr. Drummond.
Something's happened to you, Jane. You're behaving in a very strange...
Nothing's happened to me, Alec, and there's nothing strange about the way I'm behaving.
Look here, you haven't been taken in by him, have you?
What do you mean, taken in by him?
You haven't been taken in by his arrogance and his... Oh, Jane, don't tell me you're one of women who likes to be ordered about by a domineering man.
Oh, stop it, Alec. You're worse than he is. He orders me about because I'm a woman, and you because...
All right, Jane. We'll make the exchange.
But I told you we don't have to exchange. I'm perfectly willing to work with you.
You're not going to be my subordinate, Jane. I won't have it. I'll take the men's section. And tomorrow morning, when the masterful Dr. Drummond asks for your answer, you can say that for him, it's yes.
What are you hinting at, Alec?
I'm hinting that our new superintendent seems to have affected you like a barrel of punch.
That's preposterous nonsense. Dr. Drummond and I are barely civil to each other.
Your phone's ringing.
Hello? Yes, this is Dr. Everest. Who? Oh. Why, yes. I should be delighted to come. Thank you very much. Goodbye. That was Dr. Charles Drummond, with an invitation to dine at his house next Wednesday at 8. I sometimes wonder whether I would have accepted the invitation to Charles Drummond's dinner party if I had known what would happen there. I had no idea what to expect that night, though months later I was to learn everything about Charles Drummond and his sister Myra.
Oh, Charles, really, Charles, too funny. Who is she, Charles?
Who is who? I've no idea what you're talking about, Myra. And wouldn't it be better to hold with the brandy till after our guests arrive?
Of course, dear brother, of course. We wouldn't want the distinguished Dr. Drummond's first dinner party to be ruined by his tipsy sister, would we? Ah, come on, Charles. Whom are you expecting?
I've already told you, Dr. and Mrs. McGregor.
I mean her.
I don't know who you're talking about.
The woman we're really giving this party for. You've never been bothered to invite your dowdy doctor friends to your home before. Who is she?
You're being ridiculous, Myra.
Is it that frigid-looking woman who flies about in a starched white coat with a stethoscope hanging from her pocket? She's terribly attractive, I'll admit, but she's so cold-looking, Charles.
Are you talking nonsense?
All right, I won't talk about her anymore if it annoys you. But I do want to know about that fascinating, angry-looking man who passes here to and from the hospital every day. I hope he's coming tonight, Charles.
If you mean McGregor, he's married.
Charles! Why would I be interested in whether he's married or not? Oh, he does have an exciting, sullen face. Those dark eyebrows.
You're not going to start anything here, Myra. You're not starting anything
Charles,
again.
Charles, whatever would I start, you silly thing? If you're thinking of that incident at Lockridge, that man didn't mean a thing to me. And if his wife was stupid enough to be jealous, I can't... Anna, that must be your first guest. You look as though you'd been hit by a tornado. Do try to look a bit more pleasant, Charles. You don't want your cold-looking friend to find you completely unapproachable.
I love it. I love it.
What an utterly delightful story, Dr. McGregor.
Thank you, Miss Drummond.
A doctor must always have an appropriate collection of stories at hand.
But yours aren't half so amusing, Charles. Tell me, McGregor... Your husband always so charming.
I find him so, but then I'm his wife.
Oh, yes, of course.
I make Sally memorize 6 compliments for me before every dinner party, Miss Drummond.
And I suppose if she remembers them all, she gets a lump of sugar when you get home?
I ask no reward, not at all.
Tell me, Dr. McGregor, what bribe will you give me to say something nice about you?
Well, now...
What bribe shall I ask him for, Dr. Everest?
I'm afraid I'm not very good at bribes, Miss Drummond. I should think it would depend upon... what you want in return.
Now, there's a completely logical answer for you.
Much too logical. Charles, why don't you give Dr. Everest more brandy?
Oh, Dr. Everest?
Thank you, no. I've had quite enough.
Charles has been so busy staring at his attractive new associate, he's utterly neglected to see that everybody has something to drink.
Would you care for another brandy, Myra?
You know very well I would.
Mrs. McGregor?
No, thank you.
Dr. Everest... I understand you've changed wards with Dr. McGregor.
Yes, I've taken the women's ward.
And I'm very glad that you did, Dr. Everest.
Thank you.
I think the hospital would have suffered a grave loss if you had resigned.
Thank you again.
Dr. Everest, don't you find it quite horrid to be with mad people constantly?
Horrid? Certainly not.
But I should think it would be coarsening for a woman.
I haven't noticed it to be so, Miss Drummond. Frankly, I find very little difference between the sane and the insane.
What a terrifying thing to say.
Myra...
Isn't she terrifying, Mrs. McGregor?
No. Jane never frightens me.
How sweet.
I had no idea that I could frighten anyone, Miss Drummond.
Then I must be the only one you frightened, Dr. Everest.
I did say that rather bluntly, perhaps. What I meant was that I believe the only difference between the sane and the insane is that those who are mentally sick need a specially adjusted world in which to survive. An inner, private world.
I'm afraid all this is dreadfully over my poor little head.
Well, it's really quite simple, Miss Drummond.
Well, then you help me, Dr. McGregor. Do tell me what she means.
I think I can explain what Jane means by telling you about one of the patients here at the hospital. She's rather young and pretty.
Oh,
and...
is that Carrie Flint?
Well, yes, Sally. How do you know about her?
Oh, I've heard you talking about her with Jane.
There, you see? Even young Mrs. McGregor knows more than I. Charles knows me a thing about the hospital. Do you, Charles?
I never before knew you were interested, Myra. Oh.
I think your work is fascinating, Dr. McGregor. Do go on about this patient. She was young and pretty.
Well, this girl was left an orphan at the age of 5 and raised by 2 older sisters.
Quite a bit older.
There was a strong streak of sadism in Carrie's sisters. Without actually meaning to, they alternately petted and bullied the girl. The conflict of love and hatred within her reached such proportions that she became mentally ill.
But that's quite silly.
In what way, Miss Drummond?
Well, I should have taken the petting and ignored the bullying. I'd have gotten what I wanted out of them.
Well, that's not always easy to do.
Mrs. McGregor's quite right. It isn't always so easy.
Isn't it? Why not, Mrs. McGregor? Do tell me.
Well, if you really love someone and they don't treat you seriously...
Seriously?
Oh, I don't mean that you're unkind or anything, but they take you lightly. And you're not quite clever enough to tell them what you're going through. Well, you don't know sometimes whether you hate them or love them.
I handle love and hate a little more directly.
That's a quality which many of us share with children.
Dr. Everest, you know too much. You simply overwhelm me.
Myra, perhaps if everyone's finished, we might go into the living room.
Charles, don't interrupt me. I was going to say that a woman shouldn't really know so much. I'm afraid I agree with Charles. Women really shouldn't be in medicine.
Let's not get into a serious discussion of any kind this evening.
Mrs. McGregor knows what I mean, don't you, Mrs. McGregor?
I'm not sure that I do.
Well, let's face it. A woman never really trusts another woman, does she? Even if she is a doctor.
I trust Jane, and all the patients worship her.
Give me a doctor of the opposite sex any time. Men are so much kinder. Don't you think men are kinder than women, Dr. McGregor?
I'm afraid I've never thought about it.
I'm sure you'd be kind to me if I were ill, wouldn't you?
I don't know whether I would or not.
You would, I know you would. You'd be awfully sorry for me if I were ill. Wouldn't you, Dr. McGregor?
Sally, what's the matter?
I'm all right. I'm quite all right, Alica. I suddenly felt a little faint.
The case history of a man's life, or a woman's, is made up of many very little things. Some are not good to remember. All I can say for this is that it happened the following day, and I was an unwilling spectator. I didn't know then what had led up to it. But a long time later, I was to find out how cunningly Myra Drummond had set the scene.
But I've told you, Sally, I can't come home for dinner because I have to look in on a patient. Yes, the boy with pneumonia. No, he'll be all right. I just want to have another look at him. Oh, someone's just come into my office, darling. I'll have to hang up. Of course I do. Goodbye, dear.
Hello.
Miss Drummond.
No, don't get up. Please don't get up. I've come here for advice.
Advice?
I hope you won't think badly of me for bothering you at this dreadfully late hour. I fought against coming here. Truly, I did. But I had to speak to you. May I sit down?
Oh, forgive me. Please do.
Thank you. You're wondering, Dr. McGregor, why I've come to you.
What? No.
Yes, you are. You are. I see it in your eyes. You're wondering why I don't, in my need, turn to my brother. But I shouldn't say it. He's my brother. But Charles doesn't understand me, Dr. McGregor. Charles can't appreciate a woman's foolish fancies. Dr. McGregor, I need help desperately. Will you help me?
If I can.
You can. I know you can. The moment you entered our house last night, the moment I heard you speak, I knew you were the one man who could help me. You know, of course, that I'm a widow.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
I took back my maiden name because I hoped it would help me forget the tragic accident which left me alone in the world. Dr. McGregor, my husband died a suicide.
And you blame yourself?
I try not. I've wanted to run away from the memory of it and the shame and the guilt. But it's there. It's waiting for me wherever I go. I hear it. The soft whisper, the sly question, who did it? Did she do it? Did she drive him to it? I can't stop blaming myself. And even Charles, yes, even my brother Charles blames me. But you know. You understand. Even though no one can really know the truth about another person's life.
Yes, I know that.
I must cry. You mustn't let me cry.
There's nothing to cry about anymore. The worst is behind you. The past is dead.
But that isn't all. Oh, you're kind and good and understanding, and I've got to tell you everything. I'm lonely, Dr. McGregor. Should I be ashamed that I'm lonely?
No one should have to be alone.
Oh, but this is a dream. And the words I hear are words I dreamed about but never thought I'd hear. Will I ever know happiness again? I want to so dreadfully.
Of course you will.
But men... men only love women who are happy. And, oh, Alec, I'm not happy. Alec, hold me. Hold me.
Myra.
Alec. Oh, Alec.
I beg your pardon.
Jane, Miss Drummond.
I hope I didn't disturb you, Miss Drummond. I just came in to borrow Dr. McGregor's notes on one of the patients in the hospital. Forgive me. How is he, Clarkson?
Much better, Dr. Everest. Since Dr. Drummond put him in oxygen, he's been ever so much better. Only it's not him I'm worried about, Dr. Everest. It's the others.
The others?
Yeah, that one they called Jerry, that excitable one there. And all the others. There's half a dozen of them in here. Can be up to anything any moment.
Oh, I didn't know you were on here alone, Clarkson. I ordered a special to be on with you.
Well, Matron said she wasn't going to have her wards cluttered up with specials, Dr. Everest.
I'll see to it, Clarkson. Who put the screen around this bed?
Dr. Drummond. He's in there now.
All right, Clarkson. You can carry on with whatever you were doing. I'll relieve Dr. Drummond.
Yes, Dr. Everest, I have a lot of things to do.
Good evening, Dr. Drummond.
Oh, Dr. Everest. I thought McGregor was on tonight.
I asked Dr. McGregor to let me make the late rounds tonight. A sort of farewell to my old patients.
I understand. Your patient here is much improved. His pulse is steadier, temperature almost normal.
Good. I can take over now if you'd like to get some rest. You probably haven't had your dinner.
Matter of fact, I haven't. I'm hungry. Come to think of it, I'm very hungry.
Then maybe you better go at once. But first, do you mind if I remove this screen?
A screen? Why?
Well, we've never put a screen in this ward since about a year ago when one of the patients...
Look out!
Jerry!
Get
away! Jerry! Jerry,
get away
don't!
From here, Jane!
Let go, Jerry! Let go! Dr. Everest, don't you know me? Jerry! Jerry!
Get away!
Whole ward's awake now.
Get out of here, Jane! Get out!
He'll be all right now, Doctor. He's quieting down now.
Aren't you ashamed, Jerry? Look at me. Aren't you ashamed of yourself?
Dr. Everest.
Yes, old friend Dr. Everest. And look how you've acted. Aren't you ashamed?
The screen. You were hurting somebody behind the screen.
Dr. Drummond isn't hurting anybody, Jerry. Dr. Drummond helps those who are sick and unhappy. And you tried to hurt Dr. Drummond, your friend.
My friend. Tried to hurt my friend.
Now, don't cry, Jerry. We know you didn't really mean to hurt him. Go back to bed now. Take him back to bed, Clarkson.
Come along, Jerry. Back to bed now. Come
friend, on. Friend, tried to hurt my friend.
Poor Jerry.
Yes.
He'll be so depressed tomorrow, he'll be quite inconsolable. You know, this would never have happened if Matron hadn't disobeyed my orders about a special for Clarkson.
I shall have to speak to Matron.
I wish you would. She really won't listen to anyone anymore, especially a...
A woman?
I think she shares your prejudices.
Not all of them.
No? Which ones of yours would you say are different?
Well, my prejudices for certain things. For instance...
Dr. Drummond, are you all right?
All right. Only I think my wrist is broken.
Excellent. A perfect picture.
I wish you wouldn't sound so pleased about my broken bones, Dr. Everest. Tell me what the x-rays show.
But I am pleased. Glad it's only a simple fracture. I'll have it set and bandaged before you can say...
Thank you.
Try not to move your wrist until I finish taping it, please.
Yes, Doctor. I told you this was no place for a woman.
Will you hold your arm a little less at an angle, please?
Especially a young woman. Young women should be clouding men's minds, not clearing them.
We can use this gauze as a sling temporarily. Will you bend your head,
you
please?
You listened to me that first morning I came here. You wouldn't be standing alone now in a laboratory with a one-armed man, your hair a mess.
My hair a mess? Oh, heavens, where's my mirror? I had it here somewhere in my pocket. Here it is. Oh, my goodness. I don't see anything to laugh about, Dr. Drummond.
Don't you, Jane? Don't you really? I found out how to shake the imperturbable Dr. Everest out of her stern composure. I tell her that her hair's a mess.
Really, I don't think it's very...
It is.
I think we'd better go.
You do?
Yes, I think we'd better tell Clarkson and the others we're all right.
Oh, of course. Well, thank you for mending my wrist, Dr. Everest. Jane...
You're welcome, Charles. Quite welcome.
From Studio One, radio celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you're hearing Miss Madeline Carroll, starring in Private Worlds, a version for listening by Sylvia Berger of the Phyllis Batome novel. Studio One will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Miss Madeline Carroll stars in Fletcher Markle's production of Private Worlds by Phyllis Batome.
After the near riot in the ward, Charles Drummond and I didn't see each other alone again for nearly 2 weeks. Not until after many things had happened. Like the dismissal of the matron, the dreadful details of which I did not learn until much later.
You asked to see me, Dr. Drummond?
I did, matron. Sit down, won't you? Yeah. I asked to see you this morning because I have a problem I'd like to discuss with you. You've been here a long time, I believe.
15 years, 6 months.
Yeah, that is some time. And I'm sure you do know the full value of authority in a hospital such as ours.
I certainly do. I know when to put my foot down. When it's down, it stays down.
Then I'm all the more surprised, matron, that you should have so forgotten your duties as to infringe upon Dr. Everest's authority.
Dr. Everest's authority?
Dr. Everest had given orders that Clarkson was not to be left alone in the ward at night. You countermanded that order. The result, as you know, was quite unfortunate.
I beg your pardon, Dr. Drummond. I gave no such order.
Didn't?
No, sir. I did not. I may have mentioned Clarkson when he came to me, as the men will do, for, well, they know real authority when they see it, and are not to be taken in by a pretty face calling herself an M.D.
Try and keep to the point, matron.
I may have said, well, Clarkson, I'm sure you look strong enough for any ward by yourself, but all orders in this hospital have to be written, as well you know. And I wrote no order.
Surely a word from you to a subordinate is an order?
No one could be sorrier about that broken wrist than I am, Dr. Drummond, though I should have thought that with Dr. Everest on the spot... But then, I've always said that to have a woman doctor in a mental hospital is to tempt Providence. I was glad to hear that you agree with me.
I don't know that I do agree with you, matron. However, Dr. Everest's qualifications have less than nothing to do with the matter at hand. I asked you in because I wanted to talk to you about the atmosphere here, matron.
The atmosphere?
Yes, in a hospital such as ours, much of our work depends upon our atmosphere. In our hospital, I want to feel an atmosphere of greater freedom. Freedom for the staff and freedom for the patients. I don't ever want to hear of any staff member being pressured beyond his abilities. And I want to hear that all our patients are allowed to do exactly as they please, so far as it will not interfere with their welfare. Do I make myself clear?
Clear? Why, I never heard of such a thing. Freedom, indeed. If patients could be free, they wouldn't be here. I know my place, and any definite orders you see fit to issue, I'll have carried out. But lunatics taking their own sweet time over their meals and not being brought up short to keep themselves clean? Not in my hospital.
In that case, I must ask for your resignation.
My resignation? I know why you're doing this. You've been got at by that slinking little hussy who calls herself a doctor.
I must ask
Know what she's up to.
I think that will be
played
all,
with
matron.
McGregor like a cat with a mouse, his poor little wife not daring to face up to them, till bigger game came her way, and now it's the superintendent himself she's at.
I insist
while
that
the
you
superintendent's
please...
sister gets the cast off. Oh, I know well enough what she's up to. And by lunchtime, there won't be anyone in this hospital, sane or insane, who won't have heard that their matron was discharged because she knew too much about the superintendent and a certain woman doctor on staff.
There is something I have discovered in my years with the spiritually wounded, that even the most preposterous of accusations will sink its crooked roots into our consciousness, one day to come up again in a bitter flower of distrust. The words the matron screamed at Dr. Drummond about me and Alec McGregor were brushed aside then as the ravings of a spiteful and vindictive woman. But Charles Drummond did not forget them. One afternoon, I had an unexpected visitor at my apartment.
All right, I'm coming.
Sally.
May I come in, Jean?
Good heavens, Sally, of course. Well, what's happened? Where's your coat?
My coat?
Yes, you're all wet.
Oh, my coat. I guess I forgot to put it on.
In this downpour? Come over here to the fire at once.
I'll be all right, Jean.
I hope so. That's right. I've some tea brewing. You've had your dinner?
Dinner?
Never mind. I've got soup here. I'm really quite glad you came over. As a matter of fact, I was just wishing I'd some company for supper. Now, let's see. I can set it down here on the little table, can't I? You take cream, don't you, Sally?
What did you say, Jane?
Here, drink it while it's hot. All right, now. What's wrong?
Wrong?
Yes, Sally. What's happened?
Nothing's happened, Jane. Nothing's happened. I just thought I'd come over, that's all.
Of course. Drink your tea.
You think it odd, don't you?
Think what odd, Sally?
That I came over without Alec. But there's really nothing very odd about that, Jane. Alec had to work late. He's been working terribly hard the last 10 days, every night almost.
I see.
So I thought, I've got a whole evening on my hands again. Why don't I surprise Jane with a call?
I'm very glad you came, Sam.
Though heaven knows I'm not much company for someone who'd just been reading a book on neurosurgery, is it?
Yes. Oh,
I just hope when the baby's born that he inherits Alec's brains. Then Alec will have someone to talk to. At home.
Oh, he has you, Sally?
Me? Why, goodness, Tame, I'm no intellectual companion for Alec, not like you, I mean.
Why, Sally.
I mean it, Tame. You're clever and intelligent, and he takes your advice on everything. I'm just his wife. You know, sometimes I think it's almost funny. I mean, the way Alec has so much. Me and you and the hospital and all I have is Alec.
Soon you'll have the baby, Sally. And the three of you will be the happiest family for miles around.
You won't tell Alec, will you, Jane?
Tell him what, Sally?
About my coming here. He'd start thinking I was all mixed up or something. Like Carrie Flint.
Whatever made you think of Carrie Flint?
I met her.
You met Carrie when?
The other day. She was walking in the garden. She asked me to stay.
Carrie asked you to stay?
Yes. She said she had something to tell me. Then a nurse ran up and pulled her away. Jane, I want to have Carrie Flint to tea.
To tea?
Carrie and I understand each other. We have something to talk about. Why can't I have a friend of my own?
But you have lots of friends, Sally. We're all your friends.
You are Alec's friends first. And you don't understand me. Nobody does. Except Carrie. She does. I could see it in her eyes. She has something to tell me.
Carrie is ill, Sally. She needs help.
She likes me. She wants to see me. Oh, please arrange it so I can have her to tea.
All right, Sally. I'll discuss it with Alec.
I don't want you to discuss it with Alec. I'm not a child that everything I do has to be discussed with Alec. Carrie Flint wants to see me, and you've got to let her. You've got to stop keeping Carrie Flint a prisoner.
That night, I knew that Sally was ill, and that if a tragedy was to be avoided, something had to be done. I turned to Charles Drummond.
Dr. Everest, come in.
I have to talk to you, Dr. Drummond.
Well, I'm glad I put off my visit to the lab a few minutes more, and we should have missed each other.
I must talk to you about your sister.
Won't you sit down?
I'll stand, thank you. Dr. Drummond, for reasons which I shan't try to understand, your sister has chosen to amuse herself in a way which, I imagine, she finds quite familiar.
My sister would consider that a compliment.
Ordinarily, your sister's method of entertainment wouldn't interest me in the least. But in this case, it does.
Why in this case?
Because your sister is hurting someone very badly. Someone who can't defend herself.
Is that why you've come to me?
Yes.
What would you like me to do?
Well, I thought you could talk to her.
Tell her it isn't fair to play with another woman's husband.
Well, I thought perhaps you
Did you think I could lock her up in her room?
I didn't think you'd make a joke of it. If you'll excuse
me... Now, don't go. Please, sit down.
Very well.
I do wish, Dr. Everest, that we didn't always have to be so formal.
Oh? I thought that you wanted your relationship with the members of your staff to be on an entirely formal basis.
Well, quite the contrary. I'd hoped that our little dinner party the other evening would bring us a bit closer together, all of us.
I'm afraid that your sister's actions didn't help matters.
Myra's performance was most unfortunate. You didn't accept a cigarette the first time you came into my office.
I prefer not to smoke when I'm ill at ease.
Won't you have one now?
Thank you. I'd like one.
Good. Here we are.
Thanks.
Lights?
Thank you.
Dr. Everest, you can't begin to know my sister in the short time we've been here.
That's quite true.
Myra's a rather fugitive person. Like someone you might pass in the street and remember later.
She's quite overwhelming, I should imagine, to some people.
She is indeed.
Your sister is a very special kind of person. And in her company, the very air seems to become electric.
I know that. I know.
But we don't really know everything about these things, do we, you and I? Just enough not to be taken in by them like some of the others.
What are you trying to say?
I mean, we may become involved ourselves occasionally, but it's our job to try and help the other people. To see that they're happy and that they're not hurt. Not only our patients, but people like Alec McGregor.
It's a very large responsibility.
Yes, it is indeed. Thank you, Dr. Drummond.
I don't see what you're so excited about, Jane. You didn't have another fight with Drummond, did you?
I wish you wouldn't drag Dr. Drummond's name into everything I say, Alec. I merely suggested that you drop in on Sally's tea party this afternoon, that's all.
Jane, I'm getting a little tired of your solicitude lately over the way I treat Sally. Besides, I've told you, I'm not invited to Sally's tea.
Do you know whom she's having?
She wouldn't tell me, so I decided to run into town for a few hours.
With Myra?
As a matter of fact, yes.
What you're doing is very dangerous, Alec.
What am I doing, for the love of heaven? Myra happened to say that she was going to do some shopping, and since I have to pick up some shirts anyway, we decided we might as well go together. I don't see any particular danger in that.
Alec, you don't really care for Myra.
Who said I did?
Do you hate Dr. Drummond so much that you have to hurt him through his sister?
Now, look here, Jane.
Your affairs are none of my business, I know, but you're my friend, and so is Sally. And I'm not going to stand by and watch you destroy yourself and her for the pet satisfaction of revenge.
Revenge? Against whom, for pity's sake?
Against Drummond, for getting the job you wanted.
There are more ways than one for a man to destroy himself, Jane.
What do you mean?
Frustration? The poison of futility? He can feed on his own anger, or he can burn it all away, the hate, the anger, the resentment, in one quick fire. I prefer the fire.
And what if the fire spreads?
I'm telling Myra today that we're not going to see each other anymore.
I'm talking about Sally.
Sally? Sally knows I love her.
Sally feels you've rejected her, Alec. And she's been brooding about it, dangerously.
You're talking nonsense.
I wish I were, Alec. Sally feels rejected. She's begun to identify herself with others who are rejected. And the others are patients here at the hospital.
What are you saying, Jane?
Sally's guest for tea today, Alec, is Carrie Flint. And so the threads drew tighter, bringing us closer to that blinding moment when each of us sees a sudden glimmer of his destiny. Sally had her guest that afternoon. Sally gave her pretty tea party.
These cakes are simply delicious, Mrs. McGregor.
I'm so glad you like them, Nurse Stanton. They're my favorites, too.
And you were ever so nice to ask us to tea, wasn't she, Carrie? Wasn't Mrs. McGregor nice to ask us to tea? Oh, you mustn't mind her, Mrs. McGregor. Sometimes she doesn't feel much like talking, but she is having a perfectly beautiful time.
Why is she doing that?
What? Oh, you mean pulling at the flowers like that. Gives her something to do, I imagine.
She doesn't act as though she remembers me at all. After our talk in the garden, I thought she might remember me.
I don't expect she does, really. But she's enjoying herself tremendously. She likes to see an outsider, you know. They all do. In some way, you see, they feel that people on the outside are stronger than they are, and yet they're not looking after them or bothering them as we have to do. So it's an advantage for her nature, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm sure it's more than that. I'm sure she remembers me. You do remember me, Carrie, don't you? In the garden, Carrie. Don't you remember? You said you had something to tell me. A secret you were going to whisper in my ear. Do stay. Do let me...
Carrie!
Why do you hold her? You let her go.
I mustn't, Mrs. McGregor. I'm sorry. I mustn't. She doesn't really want to say anything.
Oh, of course she does. You can see for yourself she does. What is it, Carrie? What do you want to tell me?
I'm sorry, Mrs. McGregor, but she must...
Let her go, for pity's sake. Let her go. What is it, Carrie?
I must kiss you.
Why, Carrie, how very sweet of you. Of course you...
No, you don't, Carrie. No, you don't.
She tried to bite me.
I was afraid she might do that. I think it's better for us to go home now. Come along, Carrie. Here, we'll get into our coat now. I wouldn't give it a second thought, Mrs. McGregor. She doesn't do it nearly as often as she used to. The other sleeve, Carrie. There, that's it. Now say goodnight to Mrs. McGregor.
Good night, Carrie.
We had a lovely time, Mrs. McGregor. Thank you ever so much for a lovely party. All right, Carrie, we have to leave now. Look at that, nighttime already. Well, goodbye. Such a lovely time.
Oh. Hello. Alec? Oh, Alec, I'm so glad to hear your voice. Where are you? Can you come home now? What? Oh, of course, Alec. Yes, of course. An old patient. I understand. No, Alec, I don't mind being alone. Goodbye. I guess I'd better start straightening up. Alec won't want to find the house all messy. She shouldn't have torn up the flowers. She shouldn't have torn up the pretty flowers.
I could put them in water. Maybe if I put them in water, they won't, though. Things don't come to life anymore. Not after they've been pulled apart. I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here before I lose my mind. I'm all right. Excitement. Too hot in here. Open a window. There. That's better. I'll go for a walk. A good long walk. It'll clear my head. I'll get my coat. It's upstairs. Upstairs in my closet. Upstairs. I'll be all right once I get outside. Now, where is my... Who's there? Hello? There. Who's downstairs? Is that you, Carrie?
Do stay. Do let me.
What are you doing here, Carrie? You were supposed to go home with Nurse Stanton. Nurse Stanton! Who's down there? We're down there!
Awfully kind to me, Dr. McGregor. Awfully kind to me.
What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
Do let me go!
Get out of my house! Get out of my
house! Never did find out exactly when the accident happened. All I knew when I suddenly decided to drop in late at tea time was that I found Sally crumpled at the foot of the stairs, her face still as death. And again I turned to Charles Drummond for help.
What's time will McGregor be home?
I don't know. Why?
Her husband should be here.
I phoned every place I could think of.
Can't wait much longer.
Is it going to be difficult?
Well, you won't be able to save the baby.
And Sally?
I don't know.
If there's this much danger, we must wait for Alec. He'd never forgive himself.
But you think I want to wait for him?
Of course you do.
It's not up to me.
I know.
Sally, I'm home.
Oh, there's Alec now.
McGregor, we're in here.
We phoned all over town for you.
Hi, Jane. Didn't know I'd find you here. What's this? Are we having a party? Where's...
Your wife's had an accident, McGregor.
An accident? Sally?
She fell down the stairs, Alec. We think she'll be all right, only... we'll have to operate. The next few days were a nightmare. The nurse holding a tray of instruments at the operating table. Alec's collapse after giving blood for Sally's transfusion. Sally's face when she knew that she would have no baby. The rage of jealousy and resentment that swept over Charles Drummond. And the pathetic confusion of Alec. All these form dark fragments in the puzzle of the past.
Jane, I've just seen Sally.
Good.
I've been sitting with her, not talking, of course, only smiling every now and then, to get her to smile back. It's a miracle the way she's come around. I don't deserve it.
I don't think that you do, particularly.
What are you doing with all those books?
Packing. I'm going away.
What?
Charles thinks I'm bad for Sally.
What the devil does Charles Drummond have to do with us? Sally thinks the world of you.
Sally has been more unhappy than Myra's conniving could account for. We've been much too clever or too selfish to see what was upsetting Sally. She didn't like any other woman meaning as much to you as I did. And quite right, too.
But you didn't mean anything to me. Not in that way, Jane.
There isn't a that way. I once thought there was, too, but that's been our mistake. Any way of being too important in another person's life is all wrong. And when you are, you've got to get out of it. So I'm going.
You're doing nothing of the sort.
I have no choice. Charles has dismissed me.
He's done what?
He's right, you know. It's best for me to go. Best for everybody, including me.
But there's no reason why you can't stay on here.
If I stay here, nothing is really changed for Sally. She'll still be sharing you with me. At least she'll think so.
But she can't.
If I go away, Alec, she has you all to herself.
I don't like this, Jane. And I'm going to do something about it. If you aren't too busy, Drummond, I want to talk to you.
First of all, Alec, let me tell you about my sister.
Myra?
She's gone, and she won't be coming back.
I'm sorry, Charles.
It's the best way. Myra will stay with some friends in the city, Later, she may go abroad. By and by, your wife will come to realize that this is finished. You can talk to her until she's reassured by your attitude.
Do you mean my attitude about Myra? Or are you getting at my attitude about Jane?
I don't believe we need to be concerned about Dr. Everest.
That's why I'm here. I want you to reinstate her.
Dr. Everest's departure from the hospital is, if you'll allow me to say so, her own affair, certainly not yours.
You can't send her away.
I offered to resign myself if Dr. Everest would stay.
She mustn't leave here. She's completely innocent of any wrong. Two people were guilty of what has happened here. One has already been sent away, your sister. The other is myself. Jane is innocent.
No man respects Dr. Everest more than I. You have no need to justify her character to me.
Then reinstate her.
She would never stay here now.
You're sending her away because you're afraid for her to remain here. You're in love with her yourself.
Yes, I am.
Then don't be foolish, man. Go to her before she leaves. Go to her and tell her that you love her. If you hurry, you can still catch her before she stops crying.
Thanks, McGregor. I will. Having trouble with your car?
Dr. Drummond.
Here now. Slide over. Let me try. That was simple enough.
If you don't mind, Dr. Drummond.
If I don't mind what?
I was on my way to the station to check my trunk.
At this hour, don't be silly. But we can drive somewhere for a late dinner.
Now look here, Dr. Drummond. I don't care to go to dinner with you, and will you please stop this car?
You really want me to? We're blocking the entrance gate.
Yes, please stop.
What?
Thank you. Now, either you get out this instant or I will.
I don't want to get out. I'm not so sure that you do.
If you aren't the rudest and most arrogant...
I always said it was dangerous to work with a woman.
I can see why.
They're much too disturbing.
You can always fire them.
They create such tension.
They are quite unbearable.
And so emotional.
Much too emotional.
It's most fortunate that we're both too clever to be taken in by such things.
Very fortunate.
Jane?
Yes?
For my part, I'm afraid I'm not half as clever as I thought.
You're not?
In fact, I've been quite stupid.
Have you?
And quite foolish, Alec says. Haven't I, darling?
Yes, Charles, you have. But I've been foolish, too.
Can't we help each other?
Yes, darling. I think we can. And so, with all the fragments in place, the bright mosaic is complete. It is finally a happy mosaic for the McGregors, Alec and Sally, and for the Drummonds, Charles and me. Our work goes on, and our lives go on together.
Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Miss Madeline Carroll starring in Fletcher Markle's production of Private Worlds by Phyllis Batome, another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment. Tonight's script was prepared by Sylvia Berger. The original musical score was composed by Robert Stringer and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground...
Jane Everest.
...was played, of course, by Miss Carroll. Soon to be seen in the United Artists release, An Innocent Affair.
Sally McGregor.
...was played by Claire Neeson.
Myra Drummond.
...was Mercedes McCambridge.
Alec McGregor.
...was Michael Fitzmaurice.
Nurse Stanton.
...was Winifred Lenihan.
The matron.
...was played by Hester Sondergaard. Miriam Wolfe played Carrie Flint. And Hedley Rennie, Brainerd Duffield, and Ian McAllister assisted. Charles Drummond was played by your producer. Next week from Studio One, A romantic drama in two settings as sharply contrasted as its principal characters. A story of the North and the South, and of two sisters who loved one man. Next week, Hamilton Basso's compelling and long-neglected novel, Wine of the Country. As for our star, we look forward to a return visit from one of Hollywood's newest and most exciting performers, Mr. Robert Mitchum. We hope you'll be with us. And now until next week, until Robert Mitchum stars in Wine of the Country, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is Lee Vines, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.